should introduce Chris Carr from the Hearing Healthcare Centre. Good morning.
Good morning, Ian.
And now you're joining me on a monthly basis to talk about all things hearing. We spoke about tinnitus last month, and this month something for us funky DJs, and something for some of my colleagues here who like their live music loud. We're going to talk about the damage that can be done to your hearing by loud noises, and that can be irreparable, can't it, if you don't take care?
Definitely, yes, very much so. I think really one can consider that if you look back in history, the first time we were subjected to noise as a problem was probably when the industrial age came into being, and we had all sorts of noisy factories and things like that. But prior to that, it was perhaps the odd bang from gunpowder, but we've become a very industrial nation, and of course we've got our personal listening systems now that we all wander around with, which can produce quite a bit of long-time noise.
They can. Hey, I'll tell you what, your microphone, I'm just going to slightly adjust it. Hang on a minute, because we're getting a bit of a poppy noise there, speaking of noise, right, hopefully that's... Hang on a minute, there we go.
How's that?
Hopefully that's better.
Good, OK.
Yeah, we'll let you know, sorry about that. So... In terms of, I remember I used to work with a fellow who was an avid concert goer, and I used to live here, when I grew up in North London. I used to live near to Wembley Arena, and he was always going to see very loud concerts. He liked his rock music loud, and when I knew him, he was a little bit older than me. He was in his 30s, and by the time he got to his 50s, he was wearing hearing aids because the effect of such loud noise had really damaged his hearing.
Yeah.
So, in terms of that, if people like to go and see loud music, is the damage that can be done something that happens over a period of time, or can it be as bad as you go to one concert and hear music very loud once and your hearing is permanently damaged?
That's a very good question. I've, over my career, found that I got a range of people that I describe as from the tender ear brigade to the leather ear brigade. Those who are the tender ear brigade are likely to perhaps have a one-off experience which can leave them with a permanent problem. But I've equally come across people who've been through the Second World War in heavy artillery or tanks, and they've got nothing more than an age-related hearing loss and no sign of noise damage. So, and it's everything in between. And unfortunately, there's no way of knowing in advance. So you only know after the event that you've got a problem. So the practice is obviously to use ear protection when we know that noise of a certain level over time is going to be injurious to the average person. So we're not immune to damage, whatever level we are at. And I've even come across army people that have only experienced one loud shot at a particular point in time, and they've got permanent damage, and yet they've been using, you know, rifles and shooting for most of their life, and yet it was just one instance that caused the problem.
So it's not, you can't, it's not the case that because somebody's been around loud noise for many years and they've been okay, whereas somebody else can... I don't know, have something happen and then their hearing is damaged. It's not a case that some people are more resistant to it than others. It's just, it may be that that particular sound affects something that can be affected, if that makes sense.
No, I think there is a difference in individuals as to their resilience to noise.
Right.
But everybody is likely to be damaged by loud noise if it's left on long enough, or if it's a sudden loud explosion, for instance. You can always get permanent damage just from one instance. And sometimes it can be just the conditions. I recall a couple of military guys who, as I say, have been used to using weaponry for most of their lives, and they can pinpoint the exact weather conditions of really crisp, frosty, first thing in the morning conditions when everything was really still, and one bang, and after that they've had a hearing problem, which they've never had before.
Wow.
So it can happen like that.
And when people do suffer that sort of damage to their hearing, what can be done about it? Presumably they have to wear hearing aids, things like that?
Yeah, it does depend a lot on the severity. It may just put a small notch in the hearing to begin with, but then if they continue to expose themselves to loud noise, that notch gets bigger and bigger, and it then starts to encroach on their ability to hear speech easily, particularly in background noise.
And in terms of your experience here in Cambridge at the Hearing Healthcare Centre, are there particular types of common things that you find the people who come to see you who think they may have, and then you diagnose problems with hearing, any sort of common things, any things that actually younger people now who are maybe listening to this, or parents of youngsters, you would caution them to be careful about?
Yes, very much so. The common complaint when people go to gigs like at the Corn Exchange or the Junction is that they come out with their ears ringing and slightly muffled hearing for a period of time, which recovers overnight, but it does indicate that their hearing has been temporarily damaged.
Yes.
And given continuous battering like that, it will become a permanent problem, and it quite often can lead to tinnitus. And I've seen a number of DJs from these places that have come to me for ear protection
yes.
and advice because they've suffered some tinnitus, which is there permanently now.
Yeah, I know that in radio stations, it used to be the case that DJs could turn their headphones up as loud as they wanted them, and probably as their hearing became more damaged because they had them loud, it's a sort of a vicious circle, so they turn them up a bit more.
Yeah.
Whereas these days, because of health and safety and that sort of thing, radio stations have a responsibility, so most equipment is set so that you can't play it above a certain level.
Yeah.
So that's...
And the same goes for iPods and so on. There are design limitations that the modern iPod has. But it can be bypassed, I believe. I'm not an expert.
Yes.
But I do know that there, you know, these clever whiz kids can get around that and whiz the volume up higher than the manufacturer's limitations. And that's obviously dangerous as well, because they're sitting there listening to the music for hours on end sometimes, quite happily, ignoring the fact that it could be doing some permanent damage for the future.
I must admit that, on a personal note, I have an iPod, and one of the things that I've always felt, maybe this is because I don't know, I'm not aware of having a hearing problem, but maybe I have got one, it's I can never get things like iPods as loud as I would really like them to be, and I don't think I want them mega ridiculously loud. But particularly if I'm in a gymnasium yeah. and I'm using sort of not noise cancelling headphones mm. and they've got the music playing in the gym and I'm trying to listen to a podcast or something like that, I could just do with being able to turn that sound up a bit more, and I don't seem to be able to. But you think it's probably sensible that I stick with the limits set within the device, dear. Yeah, that would be your advice, I guess.
Yeah, that's correct. The simple answer to that, actually, is to have custom-built ear molds to fit to your iPod.
Yes.
Receivers or earpieces. That way you block out the external sound. So again, the same thing applies to people wandering around high streets in trains and noisy places where they're trying to listen to their music. It also has the benefit of not annoying the person on the train next to you, because they can hear the going
yes.
on. But you get a much better quality of sound because you've trapped all the sound in your head and blocked out the external sound you don't want to listen to.
So things like noise-cancelling headphones, and I've got a couple. I've got lots of pairs of headphones. It's one of my things, headphones. I've got many pairs, ranging from some quite cheap ones to some pretty expensive, and I best not say the make, but you would know them as, you know, recognised as one of the best makes of noise-cancelling headphones. When I go on planes and things like that, they are fabulous, because you switch those on, you can hear everything. So they are actually not necessarily bad for my hearing. It's just the fact they're blocking out the other noise that makes it seem... That makes them seem louder.
Yes, that's right. They're, and also, if they're full ear cover
headphones,
they are actually physically stopping some of the external sound getting in, as well as also using the electronics to mute a lot of the background that you don't particularly want to listen to. So you can listen to your music at a much more comfortable level and safe level.
So presumably, if people are listening to this and they're thinking, you know, this is ringing a bell with them, maybe they've been around a lot of noise in their life, and they've noticed they can't always hear people, or they're asking people to repeat things. What's the best thing to do, Chris? Is it come and see someone like yourself for
a
check?
First thing to do is to have their hearing checked, because obviously, if that's the case, they must have some degree of hearing problem.
Yes,
and that can be alleviated to bring them back to a much more social level by using good quality instruments to boost their hearing back up.
And would you have any? You know, what would be your top tip, or any particular place that you would say, you know, if you're going to do this kind of thing, you know, for example, someone going to see a concert, how, because they can't ask the band to play more quietly, can they?
No, that's right.
Would you suggest people wear things in their ears to stop the noise damaging their ears?
That's right, yes. And one of the things that we do a lot of is musicians' earplugs, which are specifically designed to reduce the volume by between 9, 10, 15, 20, 25 decibels in a flat response. So you're not actually doing what an ordinary earplug would do, which is to knock off a lot of high frequency and less low frequency. So your music loses its sharpness.
Yes.
It's just like turning the volume down by 10, 15 or 25 decibels. And you can still listen to the music. You can still hear conversation quite clearly because everything is just muted by that amount. But you're still hearing all of the content of the music. But just at a lower volume level and a safe volume level. And we supply this both to musicians and to people who go to concerts regularly so that they can safely listen to their music at whatever volume that is being thrown at them, but still be come out without having their heads ringing and muffled hearing.
Well, that's useful to know. I mean, that is one of the services that you can offer, preemptive, isn't it, I guess?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's always best to prevent the damage. It's too late once it's damaged. You can't repair it. You can only use hearing instruments to improve matters, but you can't replace what you've lost. It's only there for the time you've got it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, listen, Chris, great to chat to you. It's an interesting topic. And if people want to know more, presumably, you're there to advise the Hearing Healthcare Centre. Just remind us how people can get in contact with you if they want to follow this up.
Right, they can contact us by phone on 01223 360 700 or at our website, which is www.hearinghealthcarecentre.co.uk.
Excellent.